You're listening to Shalise's podcast.
All right. Here we go. Well, Father, I just thank you for April. I thank you for Holy Week. I thank you for the word of the month for April. And I thank you for getting me here to the broadcast this morning. And Father, I just thank you that this is a word that I'm not just sharing today, but it's a word that I'm experiencing. And I thank you, Father, for grace, just to frankly get through it. I thank you, Father, for truly the resurrection of Jesus that is alive in all of us. And I just call upon that power this morning, Lord. I thank you that my preaching and my teaching are not in the power are not in the words, enticing words of man's wisdom, but I thank you they are in demonstration of the power of you, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the resurrected Lord Jesus. And so, Father, as we step into this word, I pray, Lord, that you would do it today, that you would speak through me, that you would be the one that is sharing what is going on in our lives and in the spirit realm and in the history of humankind. And Father, I pray that you would meet every single person exactly where they are in their own transfiguration. And Father, I pray that it would be a strength and a comfort to them. Father, I pray that it would be used by Holy Spirit to awaken them so that they could see themselves more clearly, that they could see you more clearly, Father, and that they could bring some context to maybe what they are walking through in the dimensions of time and in the world, Father, this natural realm that we are dwelling in at the same time we're seated in heavenly places. Lord, I pray that this would be a wake-up call to everyone that would hear it. And I thank you for your grace, God, that is the one that does the work, the one that completes what Jesus has started. I thank you that it will be finished and that the time of our awakening is now. The time of our convergence is now. And I speak all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you guys, I'll just start off today by saying I'm coming a little bit vulnerable into today's broadcast because this is something that I'm actually personally walking through in a really intense way right now. And I honestly didn't really know how I was going to do the broadcast this morning because it's physical. It's not just spiritual. And so I kind of felt like I understood when the Apostle Paul said, I came to you with fear and trembling. Because I really am trembling a little bit today. But I also wanted to just say that, you know, I wasn't able to do the word last week. My daughter has been having some health challenges. And so I appreciate you guys, your understanding and your prayers during that. But I also really felt like that today, which is Holy Tuesday of Holy Week, leading up obviously to Good Friday and the crucifixion that, you know, the celebration of the crucifixion of Jesus, which I know kind of sounds like an oxymoron there to celebrate the murder of Jesus, which, you know, he fully submitted to, but it is a glorious place to celebrate because it's where all of us got swallowed up into him and the illusion of separation was crucified. So it's a glorious day. And then, of course, on Resurrection Sunday this week, but I just feel like the timing is really, really perfect. And I also felt like that I needed to step in and do this word today. I feel like one of the reasons why you probably listen to me is because I show up kind of in whatever whatever state I personally am in and try to share as much as I can about my personal journey here, because I think it's important that you know that leaders are just like everybody else. We're human and we are on our own journey with Jesus. And it's not easy necessarily always to walk with the Lord through the crucifixion of the old man in our minds. And so anyway, that's my little disclaimer for today. And we're going to hop into this word. And I'm really expecting the Lord to teach or share this with you through me today, because I have a lot of things swirling inside. But I really want to try to bring some context and bring some maybe clarity and maybe even a little bit of a grid or a framework for the awakening process that we are in. So let me back up just a little bit and let's talk about really where we stepped into this, what we stepped into this year. You know, really in December, early December, You guys will remember that I had a word. For those of you that are in Elevate, you know that we spent the month on the scripture, "Are you listening, really listening?" And for me, I was just recognizing in my own life that there were just some patterns that kept showing up in my life that I frankly was just done with. I was tired of. And I began to recognize that something's not working. And I don't know what, right? And so I took that word, you know, "Are you listening, really listening?" And I took some time to actually listen. Not that I don't listen, but I listened with new ears, I feel like. I listened with a different level of awakening, I believe, meaning that I am in a different level of consciousness and awareness of union and awareness of the gospel and awareness of the new creation. And I've just, you know, over the last, whatever, 15 years, God's been doing a really deep and powerful work in my life. And so I went back through my journals and I reread a bunch of the things that God had been speaking to me about the specific pattern, but also just some really key words about who I am from his perspective and the calling on my life and all of those things. And, you know, I really came to a place of maybe a different level of surrender or a different level of understanding. And I've been praying this prayer definitely recently, but I feel like this prayer summarizes a little bit of where I have kind of found myself in this season of my life. And basically the prayer goes something like this: like, if you don't show me, I'm not going to see it. If you don't do it, it's not going to get done. And if you don't build it, it's not going to be eternal. And so I'm really just putting it back on you, Lord, because, you know, I need you to do this. I need you to show me what I'm missing. I need you to do what obviously if I could have done, I would have already done. And I need you to be the one that really builds whatever is going to be built, because it's beyond my ability, beyond my intellect, beyond my human capacity to do. And so it's a really powerful prayer. And I, you know, it just kind of flowed out of a place of just recognizing that there wasn't a solution to this that Shalice was going to be able to, you know, figure out and execute. And so we came into the new year and I had a really, really powerful experience on New Year's Eve, right? So I woke up the morning of New Year's Eve, the last day of 2024. And, you know, I had this embodiment experience. I don't know what else to call it. It was beyond an encounter in the sense that it was a literal perceptual shift from inside of my own perception, my own body. And when I woke up and opened my eyes, it was like the full embodiment of Yahweh. And I thought it was so interesting that I don't really call Papa, I don't really call God Yahweh. And so I thought it was interesting that God showed up with, you know, like his name. But it's very difficult to describe what it was like, but it was like I opened my eyes and I'll be talking about avatars a little bit today, but it was like I was embodying God himself, like Yahweh. And I recognize we're, you know, the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in us. As Jesus says, so are we in this world. I mean, so this was more like a physical experience of that I have never necessarily felt before, even though I feel like I have incredible or just deep revelation of union and have been experiencing that for many, many years. But it was just, it was a different level of it was embodiment. I don't know what else to call it. And, you know, out of that experience, you know, we stepped into the new year and I have just been in a really powerful and incredible unfolding of that embodiment really since that encounter, since that experience. And, you know, the word of the year was mind blown. And the phrase that went along with that word was, the way that I want to manifest myself through you as you is mind blowing. And I actually took that prophetic word. It came out of part of the training that I did for Elevate in January. And I put it into a little mini ebook. I felt like it was so significant that I needed to put it into a little ebook. And then I shared that in the Elevate community. And that was what we majored on in February. And there's a lot in that word. I encourage you, if you haven't heard like the, you know, the progressive words of the year, you know, to definitely go back and do that. I think it's a progressive journey that we are on right now, a progressive transfigurational journey. And the word that I'm calling now convergence is the journey that we've been on as a community, as a tribe, as people that are connected to my voice. And So I'll say all of that to say, like, there's, you know, there's been a progressive revelation leading up to really today's word, and a really intense process, I will say, that God has been taking me through, which I would say is this process of shedding the old, of allowing the old to be crucified, really. Like, and I'll talk about what the old is. I mean, we can say the false self. We can say, we can call it an avatar, and I'll be explaining some of these concepts in a little bit here. But, you know, it's been an embodiment process for me. So it's not just been, just like a simple mind renewal as we might think about it, but it's literally been an integration in my body and in my nervous system and at a perceptional level. And so there's a really, really deep work that God is doing in me physically. And I think that's significant because resurrection is not meant to be a concept. Resurrection is not meant to be just a theology. It's not just meant to be a doctrine. It's not just meant to be something that we, you know, we say we believe in and that, you know, we look forward to in the future. But actually, it's a right now reality that Jesus Christ is resurrected and that the resurrected Jesus Christ is what's living in us, is who is living in us. The resurrection, he said, I am the resurrection. I mean, it is an identity. It is a field. It is a frequency. It is a person that lives inside of us through our union with God. And so, you know, it's been this embodiment of resurrection. It's been this embodiment of the gospel, an embodiment of the reality of Christ in me at a level that personally I've never experienced before. And so I am here a little bit today, just like shaky and just walking through it personally walking through the word that I'm giving. And I wanted to show up regardless because I feel like there's something significant about showing up in the process. There's something about sharing that with people. And because I know that this is not just for me, this is for the entire body of Christ. Like, this is what the destiny of mankind is. And I have a lot that I could share about that, but I'm not going to try to go back and pick my words more than what I can actually get out today. So I think I want to start today with some definitions that have been really helpful to me as I have walked through this process with God, because what I've really been doing is I've been getting a completely different perspective. And it's not new necessarily, but it's like pieces of a puzzle have been being put together for me. And I've been able to really see some things that up until now I haven't really been able to see. Not in a big picture anyway. And I'm not going to go into all of that today, but I am going to share that part of it has been just an overarching arc, is what I would call it, of human history. From the beginning of time, really before time began, when, you know, we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, but this place where we existed in the heart of God as just his idea. And the idea of you and the idea of me that existed in the heart and the mind of God and was written on a scroll. It was written down in living letters, right? There were words that God breathed that were you and that were I, that were who we are as an expression of God. And, you know, in Romans 12, 1 in the Mirror Translation, I feel like, you know, we've grounded everything in this particular scripture, I feel like, for this year. So let me just go ahead and read it because I think it gives some context to it. But in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, here's what it says. It says, live consistent with who you really are, inspired by the loving kindness of God. It says, my brothers, the most practical expression of worship is to make your bodies available to him as a living sacrifice. This pleases him more than any religious routine. And then here's the part that I wanted to highlight. It's all really relevant, but it says, he desires to find visible, individual expression in your person. Okay, and what I want to say about this is this visible individual expression in your person is uniquely you. There is a unique expression of Christ that is the manifestation of you. And God has known that unique manifestation of you since before time began and when he created it in himself. And those living letters and the scroll is this divine architecture of who you have been recreated in Christ to be. All right. It's the architecture of your being, which is a unique expression of Yahweh. It's a unique expression of Jesus Christ. It is Christ in the form of you. It is Christ in the form of me that has my fingerprints and your fingerprints and your eye color and all, you know, you were born in a particular time, in a particular place within human history as an expression of God. And so when I talk about this arc of human history, right, that's really where I started. And I just started walking through time, through, you know, the fall, through the flood, and then just started walking through like this moment in time where Jesus himself puts on human skin, is born into what I now am calling the matrix, right? Which is the fall. And I'll talk about what the matrix is, but this fallen construct of the world system. And Jesus enters into the matrix, enters into the fallen world as the, you know, as an awakened son, as the awakened son of God. And he walked into this matrix and was born into this matrix in a world full of people that didn't know who they are or were living in a false construct. And I'll be talking more about that. And then I walked it through to, you know, the crucifixion and how he entered into it. He submitted himself to the world system, to the religious systems, to the political systems of his day. And frankly, was crucified by those things because he needed to destroy the distortion of the illusion of separation from the inside out. And so he goes into that system through death and destroys death itself and then comes back as a resurrected, glorified human being, man, with a glorified body as a not just an awakened son, but now as a glorified son. And then I just, you know, began to track it onward. But as I began to get this arc, right, there was an elevation of my own perception and my own understanding of the context of church, you know, what would I call them? I just call them, you know, different seasons in church history and what the Holy Spirit was doing in each of those different seasons of church history and culminating into really where we are, which is really around awakening the sons of God to union, right? The movement of union and the movement of the illusion from separation from God is something that is being released in the earth across the spheres of society right now, whether we go into, you know, quantum physics or whether we go into just really the restoration of that message in the body of Christ. Again, you know, there's just a movement of oneness that's happening in the earth that science is now confirming. And there's a convergence, honestly. And I want to define that word. Let me just start with the definition of that word, because I think it's a word that maybe we aren't familiar with, but let me talk about what convergence is. So convergence in a nutshell means the collapse of separation, all right? And not just theologically, all right, but in every sphere, all right? So in every part of your body, and into your nervous system, into your language, into your decisions, but also into the structure of your life. And it ultimately leads into the convergence of all things, right? It's the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of God's, of Jesus. And so there's a collapse of separation that is taking place in us individually and us collectively, and ultimately that will work its way out into the kingdoms of this world. And so the collapse of separation is what awakening is all about. And so I want to define a couple of other terms that I think will be important as I talk about this word convergence, because the word of the month is convergence for April. And I believe that we are right in, I just, believe we're right in the middle of it, right here in Holy Week, in a very powerful way. And it's going to show up in your life in different ways, depending on where you might find yourself in the process of transfiguration. And there is no wrong place to be. Okay. You cannot be further along than you actually are. And that's kind of goes back to the prayer that I actually said, right? Like, this is a work of the Holy Spirit in our lives to awaken us to the matrix, to awaken us to the new creation, to awaken us to who we are in Christ, and to awaken us to the unique expression that we've been designed before time began to be. And so there's no wrong way to step into being, because the challenge is that I'm going to do a couple of definitions here now, because I put some language around this to kind of help me make sense of it. And I'm praying that it'll help you make sense of it too. So the first thing that I want to do, I'll kind of pause that thought for a moment, is I want to define what the matrix actually is. And I think I want to start there. Because then the next thing I want to define is something that I've come to refer to as an avatar. All right. And I think it's going to help you wrap your head around what convergence actually is and what is happening in our lives and where you may be in this journey with Jesus, in your own transfigurational journey with Jesus, and your own journey to collapse the illusion of separation from your consciousness, from your neural pathways, from your physical body, and from the structure that your life has, in the form that your life has taken on because of the illusion of separation. So there's this collapse of separation that is underway. It is a work of the Holy Spirit in the earth and a work of the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ. And it's a work of the Holy Spirit in your life. So let me talk about this word, the matrix. So I just said the matrix is a fear-based overlay on creation. It's a counterfeit reality. It's built from distortion, control, and separation from God. So separation from Christ, separation from divine intelligence, separation from the wisdom of God and the order, the divine order and the divine structure and the divine architecture of God, right? It's separated from that. It's the wisdom of the world. It's man's wisdom. It's sense driven. It's fear driven. It's death conscious driven. And it is an overlay, right? It's a distortion that has been overlaid on top of creation. And it says this, it's not just a system. It's a consciousness field. It's a web of agreements that govern behavior, economics, religion, time, and identity. Okay. And it programs people. We're born into this matrix. We're born into this system. We're born into this counterfeit reality. There's like this veil over our eyes, and the God of this world has blinded us and causes us to believe that this counterfeit reality, that the matrix is all that's real, and that this is, I'll say it again, that this is reality, right? And what happens is, because we're born into it, we get programmed by it. And this is where the idea of an avatar comes in. It says it programs people to live as avatars. And I'm just going to talk about what an avatar is in a moment. Well, let me just say it here. It says an avatar is a false self. Okay, so it programs people to live as a false self. And what is a false self? What is an avatar? Well, it's a fragmented identity. It's a false identity that's formed in the matrix as a response to trauma, distortion, and perceived separation from God. And it says it's the version of you, and I say it says, these are my notes, it says it's a version of you that was built to survive in a distorted world. And it adapts to culture, religion, and expectation, but it is not your true self. And I really thought this was powerful. It's who you thought you had to become in order to be safe, accepted, or significant. The avatar is not just a persona, okay? It's not just a self-concept, although it is a self-concept. It's your own personal self-image that was formed in the fallen world, in the world system, in the matrix, in this counterfeit reality, okay? But it's not just your personality or just a persona. It's also an identity field. And well, you know, I didn't really define field, but we can talk about that possibly here in a minute. But it comes with complete strategies, behaviors, I would say patterns and beliefs that protect you from perceived threat. I'm going to say that again. This avatar is an identity field, but it's complete with strategies, behaviors, and beliefs that protect you from perceived threat. It is a survival system, but that survival system, that avatar also blocks divine embodiment. So it's the avatar is also the mask that is worn in the illusion of separation. Now, I am saying some really deep, powerful things about the false self, about this avatar. And I just want to say that everyone develops this. Everyone develops this because of being born into a world that doesn't recognize the gospel, that doesn't recognize that Jesus crucified, that crucifixion of Jesus was the crucifixion of the old self. It was the crucifixion of the false avatar in every dimension except our mind. It was the crucifixion of the illusion of separation. Jesus absorbed separation. He was the undoing of Adam. He was the undoing of all of these things. But guess what? It's like no one knows it. And so we're still living under it, and we're born into it, and living, you know, being raised by parents who also are raising us through the avatars that they developed. It's inherited through our biology. It affects our DNA. I mean, it affects, you know, the lineage that we are, the natural identity that we are walking around in. And so the matrix is, it says it programs people to live as avatars, measuring worth through performance, conformity, and survival. And it teaches you to look outside of yourself for truth, identity, and provision. It is the operating system of distortion, and I would say deception, right? Which is built on lies. It's built on lies. It's run by the god of this world, and it is a deception. It's a system of deception, and it's woven. Here's the problem: it's woven into society. It's woven into church. It's woven into money, and even our relationships. And it's designed to keep sons from awakening and realizing that they are already one with God. All right. So we have this concept of the avatars that we're walking in before we realize it. We don't even know that we are an avatar. We actually believe this is who we are. This is the way that we view reality. This is the way that we interact with the natural world. So it's the way of being. It's how we are until we're awakened, until we hear the gospel, until we understand that, wait, I'm in Christ. I was in Christ before the foundation of the world. And this is not who I am. So the, you know, level one awakening is to kind of awaken to this reality that, wait a second, this is not reality. Okay. But, you know, what's interesting is that, you know, as I've been sitting with this, with the Lord and looking at just the little props that I have on my desk here, you know, it's not a coincidence that I have Neo here, right? Representing the matrix. I've got an avatar here representing the old self or the false self. Also could represent the embodiment of a resurrected self, but it's an avatar. And then, you know, I've also got Yoda here, which one of my students gave to me, which I think really represents divine architecture, divine intelligence, divine structure, and wisdom. And so I just found that kind of interesting as I've been walking through this, that I have these props right here on my desk. But I think what I want to move into now is a little bit about this awakening process and where, which explains the awakening process of humanity, but it also is, it explains maybe the awakening process that we all walk through individually. And so the very first level, I walked into this with three levels. And the first level of awakening, because if we're moving into convergence, all right, if we're moving into this collapse of the illusion of separation completely and embodied, okay, embodied and so that resurrection life and resurrection power is a way of being. It becomes a field. It becomes a truth in your being, okay? Then I want to talk through the way that that unfolds. All right. So this first level that I'm talking about, going to be sharing with you, is what I'm calling avatar awareness. Okay. Level one awakening. And it's the idea of, wait a minute, I'm not who I thought I was. So like in my own life, what was interesting about this happened to me in my 20s on my therapist couch. I talk about it in my book. And I talk about this bizarro experience that I had where I was sitting on my therapist's couch, and it was like I had this weird epiphany, aha moment of awakening, where it's like all of a sudden I looked around, like I was literally looking around the office, and it's like I knew, wait a second, this is not my life. This is like whatever this version of my life is not it. And I remember thinking it was like there was a movie that was like being played out as my life, and I was in, it was the wrong script. And I was playing the leading role, but it was the wrong character in the wrong movie. That's the best way I know how to explain it. It was bizarre, and I didn't know what to do with it. But I also, at that moment of awakening, I looked around like at everyone that I knew and the people that were in my life, and I realized that they were all doing the same thing. And it really catapulted me into a deep seeking of truth and a deep seeking of what it meant, what everything meant, honestly. I think the evolution eventually, you know, landed me in the work that I do and emerge to answer the five big questions of life. Who is God? Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I headed? And how do I get there? Because those were the existential questions that I, although I didn't have that language and that clarity around it, but those were the questions that I began asking and wanted to try to answer. And it really catapulted me into what I would call the second phase, which is, well, before that, I want to back up. Oh, wait, that's the third phase. Where's the second phase, Lord? Okay. Thank you. The second phase, which I would call deconstruction, matrix deconstruction. And I know deconstruction has become a popular word in Christianity, but it's not just Christianity, you guys. Like, this is what's happening in our political systems. This is what's happening in our medical systems. This is why we see the rise of you know, even the terms woke, even, you know, alternative medicine. That, you know, the bottom line is that when we begin to walk into matrix deconstruction, right, we basically say the world that I trusted isn't built on truth. And so we began to question. It's like here you begin to see the system, right? And I would also say that the matrix of performance, pressure, lack, religious rules, external validation all starts to become visible. And you start to see how much of your life and your self-concept and your image of God and your relationship with religion and institutionalized Christianity and politics and all of these things, right? You just start to recognize how much of it has been governed by distortion and not God and not God's, I'm calling it divine intelligence, but the architecture of the kingdom, the wisdom of God that is foolishness, right, to men. You just start to realize how much of this is distorted. And you start to become disillusioned, right? You get disillusioned with church models. You get disillusioned with business models or the medical system or political systems. At this point, you know, things begin to potentially unravel in relational breakdowns. There's just there's an unraveling that starts to happen. And there's a lot of fear around loss. And, if this is where you are, then, you know, it's this invitation to not rush to try to rebuild while you're still in this deconstruction place, because it's holy. It's holy to deconstruct things that are not built on truth. It's holy to deconstruct self-images and images of God and images of money and just the distortions that we have built of a false version of reality on. Right. So you have this first level of awakening where you're like, wait a second. This is not me. Right. Something is off here. And I'll just read a little bit more about avatar awareness. Right. It's where there's like a first crack in the illusion. I remember this happened on my therapist's couch with me. It's as you begin to realize that your identity has been shaped by fear, religion, success metrics, or cultural expectations. Not. And again, you may not know that the answer is union. I most certainly did not. But as you deconstruct, that starts to be the issue, right? That there's a separation from God that all of this has been built on. And the answer is oneness with God. And you may still feel like God is out there. Or you're trying to get closer, but something is whispering and it can't be the whole truth, right? So this for me, I will tell you that the awakenings in my life have mostly come through breakdown in the sense of something breaking down. Like even when I was in therapy, that was in the breakdown of my first marriage, right? So there was some level of breakdown that I began to be open to truth. I began to seek truth. I began to be hungry for it. And in the midst of something that wasn't working, in the midst of some decisions and life things that just weren't working. So then we go into deconstruction. And then let's talk about this last phase of transfiguration or awakening, which is the convergence. And I would say it's convergence embodiment. All right. And so this is where, you know, we move from the deconstruction of the illusion of separation into a full collapse. Okay. And this again is not just theological, right? This becomes now an embodiment that now begins to collapse separation physically in your nervous system, in your language. And it says, you know, I wrote down your decisions, but there's a way of being that begins to emerge. And, there's a field now that begins to resonate in you, because what's coming online is your living scroll. What's coming online is who you really are and who you've always been in the heart and the mind of God, is a unique expression of God in bodily form. It's the manifestation of you as a son of God. It's not just the manifestation of you in revelation. It's the manifestation of you physically. It's the incarnation of the living embodiment of Christ that you have been designed to be. And as that happens, the field in every one of these phases of awakening, and I'm sure I could probably break this down much more detailed than, I mean, each one of these has phases within it, I have no doubt. But what starts to happen is, you become this living expression of God. It's what starts to happen in 12:1, right? Where the desire that God has to find visible individual expression in your person actually becomes visible, right? And, you know, if you go to Romans 12:2, it says, you know, I'm going to go out of the Mirror translation because he really focuses the pattern of this world on religious tradition. But the pattern of this world is much greater than religious tradition. It encompasses religious tradition and the world system version of Christianity, frankly, all religion, but it encompasses much more. So there's a couple different ways I could read it. Stop imitating the ideals and the opinions of the culture around you. But be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. Okay, that's the Passion Translation. Let me just go into the New King James Version. It says in Romans 12:2, it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let me go into the Amplified Classic Version. You know, it says, do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs. Okay, that's how it describes that. I mean, you could just continue to go through this. And the message, it says, don't be become so well adjusted to your culture so that you fit into it without even thinking. There's other translations that, you know, it says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. Let me see if I can find it. Here we go. The pattern of this world. That's NIV. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But kind of lost my train of thought going into that particular scripture. But, you know, in this convergence phase, right, there is just a real destabilization of the way things used to work. There's a destabilization of it's like an operating system, complete operating system. I want to say upgrade, but it's a replacement. It's a replacement of the operating system of your being. And it reverberates into every cell of your body, into your processing capabilities, into your consciousness, into your perception, and into your physical body. And the collapse of separation you know, will feel like the things that used to work no longer work. The capacity to perform is no longer present. The ability to figure things out ceases to be able to function. And so there's a real like disorientation that you begin to walk through because you aren't in none of the old works anymore because it's being released. And I want to pull this in now just kind of practically because we're at the end of our time together here. But, you know, if you're not a part of Elevate, this isn't a pitch to be in Elevate, but I will say that every single month in Elevate, we're walking through some things practically that give you practical tools to partner with this. And this month is no exception. And I'll wrap up with that and say, this is basically what we're doing in Elevate. And if you want some support in that, in April is a great month to step in. The good news is you get every single month we've ever done since we started it back in October of 2023. So there's a ton of content. But this month is called Looking Into the Mirror. And really what I want to describe for you is how awakening happens, no matter what level you're at. But I also want to talk about specifically in Elevate what we're doing, although it'll work for any level that you're in. But I want to talk about it maybe from the context of each level. And it's the foundation scripture for how this works is in 2 Corinthians 3:18. And I'm going to read it in the Mirror translation. Because here's what it says. Let me just say this before I read it, because, you know, sometimes the mirror is beautiful, but it can get lost in there a little bit, is that basically transfiguration happens as we behold Jesus. Jesus is the mirror. And when we look at the mirror that is Christ, what we see is our reflection is Christ. And so there's this beholding of Jesus that undoes the matrix, that collapses the avatar, that causes the false personas and the survival programs and the ways that we've coped and survived in the matrix to be dissolved, all right? And so this concept of beholding is what 2 Corinthians 3:18 is talking about. And in the Mirror translation, it says this, now we all with new understanding see ourselves in him as a mirror. The days of window shopping are over. I'll stop right there. So, right, it's saying is that with this, we understand the gospel to say that Jesus is a reflection of us. And we now see ourselves in him as a mirror. And it says the days of window shopping are over. So it means that we're no longer shopping for an identity. We're not looking for an avatar. We're not looking for to find out who we are, right? It's like, you know, it's kind of like when you go window shopping, right? You're looking for an outfit to put on so that you can, you know, that expresses your who you are, expresses yourself. You know, you express yourself through your clothing. Well, your clothing is now Jesus, that we are clothed in Christ, and that Jesus is the express image, not only of God, but he is the express image of you. And it says here, in him, every face is unveiled and gazing with wonder at the likeness of Elohim, who is Christ, displayed in human form, Jesus, we suddenly realize that we are looking into a mirror where every feature of their image articulated in the Lord is reflected within us. So we see our own reflection as we look into the mirror of Jesus. And it says the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, engineers this radical transformation or this radical transfiguration. And we are led from an inferior mindset to the revealed endorsement of our authentic identity. We are led from a wrong old man mindset into the mind of Christ. And it says, from the fading glory of our own achievement to the discovery of the most amazing reality that we are God's glory. And so 2 Corinthians 3:18 really talks about the awakening transfiguration, how it happens, is that we look at Jesus as a mirror. And so in Elevate this month, one of the things we're doing, and actually we have the coaching call today at noon. And so if you want to hop in even now, okay, you can join on that coaching call today at noon, which will, you know, obviously be a replay as well in the portal. But, you know, the activation that we're doing in Elevate this month has to do with having an encounter in the faculty of our imagination, which you can also do in the natural, but it has to do with going before the mirror and looking at Jesus as your true self. And you know, one of the things that I'm praying in Elevate for everyone this month is that all of the false constructs will be dissolved and that the illusion of separation will collapse. And so the way that might look in an encounter is that you come to the mirror, but, you know, when you first get there, you're wearing an avatar, right? So the first thing that's got to happen is that thing has got to melt away so that you can see your glorified self, your true self reflected in Jesus. And then the other part of that process is there's going to be constructs and systems and ways of being and components of that avatar that are going to also begin to be revealed, right? So there's going to be maybe the way that you stayed safe in relationships is going to come up, the way that the structure and the architecture and the programming of how you dealt with money or how you relate to money and the image that you have of God, like all of these false constructs that came from the matrix and came from what I'm calling avatar world, right, are going to also begin to be dissolve in as the illusion of separation begins to dissolve in every definition and every way and every dimension and every way that you relate to those things, right? It's not just an image that we carry of money. It governs how we function with it. And so as the illusion of separation, for example, starts to dissolve from money, right? It changes everything. The way that, you know, the illusion of separation is it, you know, dissolves from your health, right? The new creation begins to emerge and the kingdom economy and the kingdom system begins to actually just begin to be a way that you operate in because the new creation comes with an entirely new union way of being in every dimension of the world, right? And then we begin to step into the place where we're walking around as an awakened person, as a resurrected, glorified being in a world that still doesn't know who they are. So I am out of time, but I do think that I covered hopefully the main points today of why I'm pulling the word convergence into April. And that this collapse of the illusion of separation is where we find ourselves in. And I believe that if you're connected to me, that that you're already awakened, okay? You're awakening. I don't think you would even be resonating with any of the things that I teach or any of the things that I share, you know, if you weren't ready for example, like I'm waking up to union, like I'm waking up to the reality of my union with Jesus. I'm deconstructing from doctrine and ways of operating in all the areas of my life that have been steeped in the illusion of separation. And so, you know, I just, my prayer is today that you will connect to this wherever you find yourself. And, you know, you say, what do you do, Shalisa? I hear what you're saying, but I don't know what to do about this. And I will tell you, it goes back to Romans 12:1, right? This is an offering of ourselves as a living sacrifice. That is the only part, you know, that's our worship. That's our part. It's just literally a hands up surrender to Jesus. It's the same thing that I prayed earlier, right? If you don't show me, I'm not going to see it. If you don't do it, it's not going to get done. If you don't build it, it's not going to be eternal. So it's literally a living sacrifice. It's surrender. And even surrender, I don't even think we know how to do without Jesus. I don't even think we can do surrender right. Right? I don't even think we can see surrender right. We do the best that we can in the moment to just say, here I am. I'm here. You know, it's what I described when I was in my 30s and I took off all my clothes, right? And laid down on the ground and said, I don't know. I'm a mess. I can't, what can you do with me? I don't know, but I give you me. I just give you me. Just what I've done with my whole life isn't working. So how about you take it? You know, in Emerge, we do an exercise where we fill out a blank piece of paper, we sign our name at the bottom of it, and we hand it to Jesus. And we say, okay, you can fill out the story of my life. You have permission to fill in, you know, the definition of who I am and what it is, reality. You get to define all reality for me. And I'm just signing my name to this as a way to say, here, you can have me. And I think really beyond that, it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit leading us the only way that the Holy Spirit knows how to do to unravel the matrix. You know, I came back to my rubber band ball, another prop here, to unravel the collapse, the illusion of separation of the avatar programs that have, you know, we've been trapped in, and reveal Christ in us, reveal Christ to us, reveal Christ through us, and teach us the gospel and renew our minds. and walk us through this beautiful journey of the collapse of separation in every dimension of our being. And so I just bless you guys. I bless you with that. I do believe that, you know, this is a, I didn't talk a lot about fields. Maybe I'll, you know, step into some of more of this later. But I do believe that if you are here, this is already happening in your life. I believe you wouldn't even be listening to this message if you weren't in this now already. It's not a figure out. It's a let the Holy Spirit reveal to you what only the Holy Spirit can reveal to you. And when I say allow it, it just means, you know, the grace of God is here and the grace of God is working. This is working all the time because of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. So I just bless you guys with that. I bless you with a beautiful Holy Week. I bless you with grace and I bless you with every single thing that belongs to you in Jesus as you participate in Jesus's crucifixion this week and embody that in a whole new level that the old man has been crucified and at the resurrection that happens on Sunday. I just pray that you will have more revelation than you've ever had about the significance of what Jesus has done and what it means for you and that the fullness of what has been written about you in living letters and that the living scroll of who you are will in fact begin to resonate in you as well. And that you will, the embodiment of Jesus is your destiny and in a way that is uniquely you. And so I just bless you guys with that. And we will see you next week. I don't even remember what series we're in, but by next week, I'm sure I'll have my act together in a completely different way than I do today. So God bless you guys. I love you much. All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Shalisa's podcast. This recording is, in part, made possible by our listeners. To partner with us, visit shalise.com, where you can donate and help us spread the good news of our unshakable union with Christ around the globe. You can also find a link there to download Shalisa's book, The Path, for free. And if you're ready to discover the call of God on your life and the purpose he created you for, then visit us at shalise.com and watch Shalisa's free training, where you'll hear 5 keys to hearing God about your life purpose and transitioning into it. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, don't forget, the world needs the Christ in you.